question, interesting kind of question. All right, so we're going to continue now at the Gemara. The Gemara, Ba Minei Rabchi Barava, Rabbi Yochanan, Torah Benoi Fino Office, Mahu. If they erred with regard to the case of adultery and erroneously set them free, Mahu, what is the din? It's very tough to understand the question. We went through Rashi yesterday. Rashi explains that he's asking whether there are issues over here that would be subject to the same rule. Because there's many issues, as he explains, by the case of murder, which is davish einat tzedukim modimo, things that the tzedukim do not agree to, which are determinative as to whether the person will get the death penalty. So Rashi went through a list of issues. That's what he says, Mi'amrinu mahadrinu lai l'chova. Do we say by noif in no office that if they were found innocent, we would bring them back l'chova, because we would, because they made a mistake on something that the tzedukim amodim bo. Okay, so Rashi goes through a whole list of things that are consequential with regard to murder, and that's the question. Aval benoi fino efes. At the end, Rashi gives a whole listing of different things that could be relevant. Aval benoi fino efes leka teusa luschusa. That by noif fino efes, there's no toas luschus. Strange kind of question, isn't it?
Yeah.
The rule that we've learned is that ein machzirin l'chol, if he's found innocent, that's in static b'din. That was followed up by a modification of that principle. That when we say that, it depends on the nature of the mistake. If the mistake was with regard to something that the tzedukim are not modim bo, so as we explained yesterday, that's a different kind of a mistake. And in that arena, it's still considered to be hora, and it still has the chalo shame of a psak, and it confers the status of being the static bedin on the nidon, which is vital. That is the factor halachically which prevents you from bringing him back. However, if the mistake is on something that the tzedukim amodim bo, so then that's not considered a maisa hora. Therefore, it's not a legitimate psak, and therefore it doesn't confer any status. So there's no real stress. I mean, of course, so you machzirin him. Machzirin. Okay? That was the principle. No problem with that. So it's obvious then that there are cases in which you have this phenomenon. You'll have issues, pertinent issues, that will be determining innocence or guilt, which are ain hastukim modimbo. But there's nothing that says that has to be so in every case. There's nothing that there could be certain cases where this rule will not apply. That is to say, there won't be anything essential, any issue which could be the subject matter of a mistake, which is a davish ain hastukim modimbo. It doesn't have to be that way. So we've already established that by the case of ritzicha. Case of ritzicha, there's a lot of areas that you could make a mistake on. He brings them in. Hasra'ah, if you were warned by the victim, and the omed, the stone, the weapon. So merge the fact that you have edus that Reuven killed Shimon, it's not a slam dunk, so to speak. It's not cut and dry. There are many issues over here. Many issues, like hidden issues, so to speak, because that's what we'll refer to that. Hidden, meaning to say it's a davish enos tukum modimbo. It's not out there in the open. Oh, the whole defense. The defense about, if you say that, he was pursuing me to kill me, and I had no choice. Oh, but then could you have stopped him a different way? That whole thing. Now, the question is being raised, what about noi for no office? If you have edus that of adultery, Adam testify that so-and-so had sexual relations with a married woman, case of adultery. And that carries the death penalty. So, the question, and Bezdin, is it possible that Bezdin would err and find the person innocent, and the mistake would be something that the tzaddikim are not modim bo? That's the question. There are issues in the case of adultery, which carries the death penalty, which are so-called technicalities, whatever you want to say, which would render the person innocent, even though the person did the deed. Okay, we'll just use that term. It's just for description. I'm not saying that they're technicalities. We'll use the term legal technicalities, which would render the person innocent, which are matters that the tzaddikim would not agree to. Such that if Bezdin erred with regard to them on these matters, misunderstood one of these technicalities, and found them innocent on the basis of the technicalities, then he would not be brought back. If there are such issues, so then you would bring the person back. If there are such issues, then you would not bring him back, l'chol. But if there are no such issues, and all the consequential issues were not hidden, I mean, they were like things that the tzaddikim would be moded to, so then you would bring him back. That's what Rashi is saying. Mi amrinan, do we say ma'adrinan le l'chovah? Do you have this phenomenon by Noah and Noefas that you would bring him back, Lechova? Okay, Rashi, the final words in Rashi, Avo ben Noah and Noefas, leka to Usa l'schusa. That is, by the case of Itzicha, you have to Usa l'schusa, because to Usa l'schusa means a mistake which is in his benefit. Mm-hmm. But the mistake in his benefit has to create a schus. So in order for it to create a schus, it has to be a mistake which is in the arena of Davish Einat Stukim Modemo.
That's right.
Okay, so you made a mistake in his favor and it sticks. It creates a Chalashem Tzarek. Okay, the question is, by no, if you know office, do you have that phenomenon? That's the question that Rashi asked. Okay. Do you have a similar possibility in the arena of Noef in office to have Teusa L'schusa? A mistake in his favor which sticks and creates a shame, tzaddik, in the gabbah.
Yeah, good.
I think it's clear now.
Yeah.
Zika mahu. Okay? Mehen is not correct, obviously. The Rashash corrects that. Yeah, this fits in. This means that if they found him innocent, what's the din? Do we say you bring him back, l'chova? That is to say, in a sense, that no v'no ofes would be an exception to the rule that ain machzirin l'chov, categorically. And then he goes on to explain. Because in the case of Ritzicha, there's many areas which would constitute to Usul L'schusa. But by Noah, for no office, he concludes, lack of to Usul L'schusa. You don't have any of these issues. So therefore, if they found him innocent, then, but by mistake. If they found him innocent by mistake, so then they bring him back. That's what he's saying. Mi amrinan, do we say madrin le'lechova? That by north and office, madrin le'lechova, categorically. That's what he says. Pirusha kuntras. Rashi explained, the menoef lekatos l'schus. That's the issue. That by noef, there is no tos l'schus, as we've explained. V'tema, deho ika mili tuba. There's many things. Many issues. Ki ahi de pligi bishalhi perikama de makos. One issue is a machlokas in makos. I amrinon minofin. If we say by adulterers, achayiru derech minofin. Achayiru kimikhol bishpo feras. Let's pause and understand that. For those guys who didn't prepare the Tosfos, who introduced this issue that Tosfos is mentioning. As you know, Sanhedrin cannot base itself except on Eidus, and the Eidus has to be, it can't be circumstantial, cannot partake of anything which is circumstantial. They have to see the action itself. Famous case in Sanhedrin source right now, but the famous case in terms of Aiden, who testified that they witnessed somebody killing somebody else, but this is what they testified. They saw somebody chasing after another person with a knife. And they were watching the person, and then they went around, say they went behind the tree or something else, which blocks their view. Okay, just for a minute, whatever the case may be. And then afterwards they saw the pursuer, the one with the knife, emerges with the bloody knife, and the other person is dead. Okay, that's the situation. You watch one person chasing another person with a knife. They went behind a tree or something that blocks your view. And then the other person emerges with a bloody knife, and the victim is dead. What happens? Can you convict the person on that basis?
No.
You're just saying on your own logic?
Yeah,
the answer is no. Because even though from a circumstantial point of view, I'm sure that in American law, there'd be no doubt that he's the murderer. Still, they didn't witness the actual killer. They have to witness the actual killer. And all the circumstances are there. He's chasing after him. He's running away. He emerges with a bloody knife. He's dead. Pretty obvious what happened. And they witnessed. That's the point, is that they did witness. Pure circumstantial, where you're putting together the pieces of a puzzle, that we know is no good. You have to have Adam. Hear the Adam see. But they don't see the actual putting in the knife. That's no good, because Eidus means they have to see the event. Now the question to testify too. So interestingly enough, the Rambam in Hilchos Yisurei Bia, Perek Aleph, Halacha Yutes. Einu Eidim Nuskakin Liros Hamanafim Sheheru Zevzeh. The witnesses are not obligated to see the adulterers who had, we'll use the term genital contact, obviously. The hichnis can be called bishfoferes. They don't have to actually witness that, like somebody put something into a cylinder, like the actual entry, so to speak. They don't have to. And that's exactly what the machlokas and machas is all about. Do we say that they, when they testify, they can't just say that they found them in a compromising situation? They have to actually have seen the entry, so to speak, the physical entry. Elamishayiru osan dvukin zebezeh, but when they see them clinging to each other, kiderech kol haboalim, in the manner of all people that are in bilas, that position. But that doesn't mean to say, that would say it appears to be that way, but they don't have to actually see the physical contact. Hare Elun Herogin Bur'iyazu. They receive a death penalty with this vision, with this sight, this testimony. He ain't Omrim, and we don't say Shem Elohera. Maybe they didn't actually have that physical contact. Mivnei Shecheskas Tsurazu Shehera. Because the Chazaka of this type of a Tsura, this form, this situation, is that they did. Now my question would be, well, anyways, before we go to the question, I'm just going to raise the question. I don't know if you have an answer. But anyways, that's what Tosfos is mentioning. That this is something which is a technicality, it's a detail, so to speak. And they could err. They could make an error on this point. For example, let's say Beis Din found them to be innocent because they thought that it has to be kemikol b'shpaferes, that they have to actually witness the actual physical insertion. And they found him innocent, then that's a mistake. Right? So that's to usulus husa, and you wouldn't bring him back. Because that's not mafurish b'Torah. That's what Tosfos is really attacking Rashi. Is that clear? I just wanted to make before. Yes? Guys? Mm-hmm. Right? You those who learn Tosfos, do you learn that way, right?
Okay. On the case, what are they...
That occurs to me is there a contradiction between what we learn in Sanhedrin, that in Sanhedrin we can't go by this kind of a chazaka. We don't say, you know, if you take a look at all the factors over there, you can make the deduction. The deduction seems to be very, very clear. You follow what I'm saying? I'm raising this as a logical question.
Yeah, so what kind of exception?
That is to say that in Sanhedrin we say, maybe he didn't kill him. Even though in terms of logic, it's pretty obvious who killed who. Yeah, but you didn't see it. So since you didn't see it, you can't draw any conclusion and say that this is the outcome. This is the natural outcome of the chase. And not only that, but you see that the guy's dead. You see, in the case, interestingly, in the case of the Sanhedrin, in the case of Ritzicha, you have more. You have the outcome. You have the circumstances. You have the bloody knife. You have more. Here, you don't have the outcome. You're just assuming that this is a chazaka derech. All adulterers, that's the way they look. So there, you're making a bigger jump. And that's the question. That's my question a bit stronger.
No, I'm aware.
You can't say. It's interesting. Excuse me. I'm going to up the ante now. I like to up the ante. What I mean is make the question stronger. See, because you brought out something. And you said something. And I'm going to turn it against both of you. To up the ante and make the question stronger, lest you say that there's no assumption that someone who's chasing after another person is really intending to kill him or anything like that. And then you'll say, yeah, it's true that it happened afterwards, that in this case, you know, we know that he did, but to begin with, we can't make such an assumption. And that's contradicted by the facts. What fact contradicts that? Well, if that's the case, don't we have the idea of a rodent? That if somebody's chasing after somebody else to kill him, we do say that you've got to kill him because he's going to kill the other guy. So are we saying, in fact, that whoever's being rodent after another person, there's a safe assumption that it's going to lead to killing? Which I think makes it even stronger. No, and if you're going to deny that, you're really good.
No,
we have to make it clear that in the case of adultery, they're not getting the penalty for being in a compromising situation. That's not the case. It's for beer. The Rambam is only saying that we have a chazaka. That people in that situation, in that type of an embrace, it leads to beer. So we don't have to wait around and actually see the beer. That's sufficient. However, if Adam testify that they saw a couple in that situation, and they remained there, and let's assume that they didn't know this. They thought that you have to actually see the penetration. And therefore they waited around, and they stopped. These lovers stopped. They were distracted and they stopped, and they never consummated it. So then would they be subject to the death penalty? No, they would not. Would not be subject, because it's not for being in the compromising situation. It's that in that situation we make the deduction. We assume that it led to beer. However, if you know for a fact that it did not lead to beer, so then you don't give them the death penalty. I mean, that should be clear.
Right.
And to clarify the question, there's no problem with the chazaka. That's correct. It's true. First of all, the Torah maintains that that's the case. In reality, it confirms it. Well, whatever. We're not questioning that. We agree with this. 100%. It always results in that. The question is, though, in terms of Eidos, if we maintain that Eidos has to be that they testify to the actual phenomenon, if it has to be to the actual phenomenon, and it can't be based upon assumptions, so then why should it be permitted to work over here? It's still basing it on an assumption. And to confirm that that's the case, that it can't be based on assumptions, however compelling, I cited the case of the murder where the one person is chasing the other person. You understand that? The answer is that it's two completely different phenomena, even though superficially it appears to be the same. But it's a halachic phenomenon. Now, see, in the case of the murder case, that's purely circumstantial. Because there's no tzura, there's no action. They haven't witnessed any action. There's no connection, halachically, in terms of Eidos, between the prior chasing. That's a separate event. That's a separate phenomenon. Even though we say it's a rodef, when it comes to rodef, and there's a halacha, that's a different halacha. That's halacha vatzalos anirdaf. That's not, you don't need Eidos for that. You don't need hasra'a for that. That's not killing the person for a crime he's committed. That's a completely separate phenomenon. And therefore, there all you need is to confer upon the person a shame rodef, a different shame. But in order to confer upon the person a shame rotzeach, it's a different shame, that requires Eidos that he was the rotzeach. And that Eidos has to be established by, they have to see. They have to actually see the Ritzicha. The fact that they saw he was a rodef, so fine, he's a rodef, so what? And you can make all the calculations you want, that all rodefim wind up being, whether that's true or whether it's not true is irrelevant, because all it's going to tell you is that he was a rodef. And the fact that he is a killer, which is a different shame, is going to be established through a deduction, which cannot be utilized. Now, look at what they're saying over here. In point of fact, over here the Edom have witnessed. What have they witnessed? Once they witnessed the embrace, if that embrace is defined as Bia, it's a different idea. You see what? It's not like this is, for example, if you see them enter into a room, into a hotel room together, and you say that most of the time, with these circumstances, that's what they've rented the room for, and it's that kind of motel that lends itself, it's specifically designed for that purpose, is that sufficient? No. There's no tzura. There's no tzura over there. That's purely a matter of circumstantial. This is the Maisabiya. We witness the Maisabiya because halacha defines that this embrace, you see, that's what you mean by this tzura. This is the Maisabiya. That they have to testify. In the case of Ritzicha, they have to testify that they witnessed the Maisa Ritzicha. There is no Maisa Ritzicha that they witnessed. They can make a deduction about that. In the case of here, the halacha is permitted to define this as a maisa bia based on the fact that this maisa always results in bia.
So the compromising situation.
The compromise is defined as bia.
Why?
But the issue. One second. I know what you're going to ask me now. So you'll say, so what if they were in that situation and then they separated and the witnesses testified, then they're not chayav.
Right, then that's right. Only works when you don't have knowledge.
You see, so that's a maisa bia. Okay. However, if you know from point of fact that it wasn't a maisa bia in this particular situation, so then it wasn't. We're not saying it has to always be a maisa bia. That is sufficient. That is sufficient for the halacha to define it as a maisa bia. But if there's knowledge, obviously, if there's knowledge, it's like saying that. Look, in the case of murder, he has to hit him. He has to deal him a blow. He has to deal him a blow that he would die from. That he would die from. Has to be a strong enough blow. So let's say he dealt him a blow that he could die from. And he goes into a coma. And we're waiting. But there's no question. So if he dies, he's going to get the death penalty. Because that's a blow that, let's say he doesn't die. Then he's not going to get the death penalty. There's no way. It means in the world of halachic reality, we have to define a certain blow as being sufficient to kill him, and that is. But if in point of fact he didn't die, there was no murder, so then you don't kill him. Yeah. If they were in the compromising situation, which always leads to, obviously it's in practical reality, it's very easy, for people to understand what's going on. If the witnesses saw that, and then they left, they didn't wait. They didn't wait for the conclusion. When they're brought into court, they defend themselves by saying, "True, now we were involved in that, but we stopped because something happened." We wouldn't believe them because the accused can't defend himself against testimony. He can bring about mitigating a circumstance, but if she wants to claim that she had gotten a divorce the night before, whatever, she can prove it, then she wasn't, that wasn't done, something else. So it may be true that in point of fact they didn't complete the act, but that's irrelevant once the halacha established this as being the ma'asabiyah. Unless the Adam themselves testify that in point of fact it didn't, it wasn't, it was something else. Stop. Of course, the Adam, then they didn't have beer, whatever. You can't kill people if they didn't have beer, just because they were in the compromising situation.
But
isn't that clear?
But this
a chazaka is a certain presumption which the Torah gives you the right to operate by. For example, how do you even establish chazaka is extremely powerful. How do you even establish parenthood? How does a person establish who their father is? Which is a very important halacha issue. Of course, if you had a Sanhedrin, if a person hits his father and makes a wound, he's chayav nisa. Of course, with Edom and Asra. So then let's say time is that proves that he's my father. How do you know? Now, there's no way, really, that you can prove a thing like that. Because it's always theoretically possible that someone else fathered you. So then maybe he's not my father. The answer is Rov Ilo Zachar Abba. Okay? There's a presumption that most of the sexual acts of a wife or with the husband. Most. So therefore you go after Rav. That's all you need. Now, or any other case where you rely on a chazaka. But if in point of fact you can prove differently, like today with DNA testing or other things, so then you wouldn't go by the principle. If you have a way of establishing with kashrus and so on, rove or chazaka, that a certain thing is in a certain state, that means it's a chazaka, because we can't prove one way or another. When you can't prove one way or another, then you have to revert back to your chazaka or your rove. But if, in point of fact, you have a way of knowing, so then you can, and this is the reality, the principle is not going to contradict the reality. Same thing over here, that the cases where they testified, they saw them in that type of a lover's embrace. A lover's embrace with a lot of sexual relations. They saw them. So that's enough, because we know where that goes. That's enough. However, if in point of fact, you know for a fact that in this case, you know through Adas, that in this case it did not, so then you don't go by the Chazaka. All right.